We could really start this morning by directing our attention, I was going to say that, to speak the word Father. And I think we have different elements that we attach to Father, and I think most of it relates to our own personal fathers, Father. Some of them bear good memories and some don't. But we're dealing with a father of another kind, a father that goes beyond explanation. We don't have any words that we can really put to the meaning of this father. So I ask you this morning, would you just pay attention to Father? Just listen to Father. There's a scripture that you're probably quite familiar with. In Luke 15, if you've been down the road while with the Lord, you would have heard the story of the prodigal son. And actually the story or the parable that Jesus tells, he begins with these words, and a certain man had two sons. And while we are very familiar with the first son that took his inheritance and decided to go and live it out, live it up, do everything that he wanted to do. He didn't need his father. And I can only imagine what it felt like to the father when the son said, I want my inheritance now. I wish you were dead. I wish you didn't exist. I wish you were out of my life. I want to live it up. I want to enjoy what I've got, but without you. And while that sounds terrible, the other son was still around. And you know the story of the son going away and coming back. And eventually he lands back and he stands there, and the father calls out the servants and creates a party situation, a type of welcome, a rejoicing. But the other son is still in the field working, doing his job. And I think sometimes our Christianity can become like that, where we become so busy with just doing God, like we do church, and it's easy to get there. It's not a difficult place to get there. And it says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. It starts with the meanwhile. So we're in the meanwhile space right now. Meanwhile. And then when he hears the noise of the party, he goes, and the father comes out. But he was angry. The son was angry. He was angry at the thought, I've been working all day. This is the first time that I've heard about a party, and a party for this person who spends a time wasting everything. And he says to the father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. It sounds like Christianity, doesn't it? Slaving for you. Never disobey your orders. Do everything you want us to do. But we can miss something just in that. We can just miss something, and here it is, it's coming. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. And this is what the father says to him. And I want to say it today, because this is about our father and what he means to us. He says this, my son. He said to you, every one of you, my son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. We miss that. He's always with us, and everything he has is ours. We miss that. We miss it in our busyness. We miss it in our striving, in our pushing forward and trying to find meaning for life. And it's not wrong to have a job. It's not wrong to work. None of us are, or most of us sitting here, are not like full time for God. But maybe that's a statement that we should have over our lives, that we are full time for God, that we are full time, that we have His presence with us, that He is always with us. and everything that he has is ours. I started off by saying that God is present in his presence. And we can quite easily slip into that place where we become present without our presence. That we are present, we are in attendance at a meeting such as this. We are at attendance even at our prayer times in the morning, our quiet times, or whatever we'd like to call them, those times and those moments, but we're not present there. We're doing the ritual of it. We're getting through it. And you can fight with me if that's not the truth. And I'll surrender to that. But I tell you, even in my life, even as a full-time preacher, as a full-time minister of the gospel, there are times that I'm so consumed by the busyness of being that I sit in his presence, and what am I thinking of? I'm thinking of you. I'm thinking of what I'm going to say to you, how I'm going to bring you out or bring you into that place. And I become so busy with that, and I forget about my Father sitting in the room with me, saying, you're going to represent me. You're not just going to preach the word. You're going to represent me. There's something of me that is going to come and present itself to the people. My people need to see me. There needs to be a revelation of who I am, what I am, not just what I do. And we so love what God does. We so love what God does, how he blesses us. And that is sometimes the consummation of our prayers. That's the only thing that we're striving for. What are you going to do for me, God, today? How are you going to help me? How are you going to heal me? Not wrong to feel that way. It's not wrong, because God wants that. He wants that. He wants to be that. He wants to be your healer. He wants to be your provider. He wants to be your joy. He wants to be your peace. He wants to be everything that you desire in your heart and life. But with all that wanting, does he become part of it? Is he the one? Is he the only one? We read in the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, very hard words. The second, third chapter, Jesus speaking to his church. In the very first church in Ephesus, he says, you've left your first love. And we get it a little messed up when we think about our first love. Because a lot of us think, well, I've known the Lord for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever it is. I need to get back to that time. That's not what it says. It's not what it says. Your first love is your primary love, the only love. It's not a sequence of time. Is he your only love? Is your Father your only love? When you say Father, does it mean something to you? Does it drop down something into your spirit and touch the deepest recesses of your heart? To know that you're sitting before your Father. I love that we're saying that song this morning, because it holds treasures there, and it's not like the Word of God, but it is the Word of God. I think the verse comes out of Deuteronomy, actually, where the song was formulated. Let me just read it to you quickly. Do I have it? Deuteronomy 4. You got it up on the board? Okay, very good. It's good to have guys doing these things. Because I'm so distracted from my notes now, I don't know where I am. It says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God. And what is the from there, the there space? It was a redemptive time. The children of Israel had really been disobedient to God. They'd found another God, actually, by doing the wrong thing. They were intermarrying into the nations around them. And those nations around them, or the women around them, were actually bringing their gods into the camp and say to the husband, you know, if you love me, you worship my God. And yes, my God, it's a little tin thing or a little wooden thing or a little stone thing, something, and bow down before this God. And the envy of God is provoked in that moment. But he comes in his mercy and he says to the Israelites, and this is what he says, from there, from that place of your repentance now, you will seek me. You will seek me. If you search after him with all your heart. You know what that means when you say all your heart. You know what it means. I don't have to explain that to you. All your heart. You will seek me with all your heart. And I think sometimes the diligence of our prayers does not go that deep. It does not go to the place of all my heart. I'm not present in his presence. I'm not present in my own presence. I am busy somewhere else. My mind, my heart, my treasure is somewhere else. My little idol is out there, whatever it may be. But I seek him. And his response is, you will find him. Not you might, but you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart. If you seek him with all your heart. It's not difficult, friends. Prayer is not a difficult thing. But it has to be with all your heart. It cannot be with just a portion of, like, I am going to set aside a portion of. And I'm not just saying in amount of time. It's not just about time. You can have a moment with God that is so powerful in just a moment. But it's with all your heart. It's with all your heart. It's given everything that you can possibly give to the moment. And it brings about his presence. Brings about his mercy. And suddenly you find yourself in a euphoria of his goodness surrounding you. I remember Moses standing up one day and after, again, something that the Israelites had really gone way out of, and they built this golden calf, and God was angry with him, and he said, I'm not going to go with you. You're going to get the promised land, but I'm not going to go with you. And Moses said, you can't do that. That was his plea, and that's my plea this morning. God, don't leave us. Don't leave us. We can't go, even if it's into the promised, even if it's into the things that we think is the best in the world. We can't do it without your presence. So if you don't go there, then we're not going. Refuse to go without his presence. We long for his presence. We need it. Let's see if I can find my place here. Scriptures report that we cannot outstay our welcome in the throne room. There's no place where it's too much for God. God is not saying, okay, that's enough. And quit now, say amen, get going. I've had enough of you. I don't hear that in the scriptures. I don't feel it in the heart of God ever. If God has that moment with you, like he's upset with you, like, well, you just go and do your thing. He wants us in that place. All the time. He said in the words to the other prodigal son, I am always with you. What does that mean? So when did that stop? Does it stop when the meeting ends? Does it stop when we go off to work? When we're busy sweating it out, struggling with something? And I think work is a struggle. I don't think work is easy. Work is painful at times. Like I'm really like pushing through, and it's hard for me. And whether it's a time thing or it's whatever it is. Oh God. Help us to find that with you in every moment of our life. I'm with you. Every moment. My worst concern is that we can get to a place of ignoring God. My worst concern, that would be the one. That we ignore God. That we have wonderful meetings. That we do wonderful things. And I mean, we had all these beautiful announcements of things that we can get engaged with. And the conference coming up. And the beauty of the conference. And wow, it's so good. It's awesome. It is. There's a takeaway that you cannot take away in a basket of groceries. You can't take it away. There's just so much of it. And it's an overflowing, it's an overflowing, and it's God saying, come, my people, be my people, walk with me, understand that place. I love it in the time when Israel was still out in the desert place, and every time Moses would go into the place where he meets with God, every time, they all come and they stand at the door of their tent with expectation. What's going to come out? What's going to come out of this? Where's God going to lead us? And you must understand, these people did not know God. We have the privilege of knowing this God. Of knowing this God. Having found through Christ that we can actually relate to God. He says, you cannot get to God without me. My Father, you cannot see the Father without me. We have this privilege. Stand at the tent of your house in expectation. What is going to come out of this place where a man meets with God? Where a man meets with God. Oh, yeah. The more I seek him, the more I find him. That would be the title of my message this morning. The more I seek him, the more I find him. And from that, the more I love him. But there is something about the presence of God that brings you to the place of loving him. Loving him. That he becomes real to you. You know what? I think the guys find this quite difficult. Because it sounds so romantic. And weeping before God. And last week we had some weeping from this man sitting here in front of me. And my heart is weeping this morning. Just for the joy of knowing this. It's not foreign to me. When I talk about prayer, it's not foreign to me. It's not something that I have to strive for. It's like the breath of my lungs. It's the breath of my lungs. I know. I don't know sometimes when I stop. When does it stop? Does it stop when I say amen? Or does it continue in my life every day? Pray without ceasing. That's what it's like at times. Sometimes in intercession, praying for others. Sometimes in difficult and moments of storm and trouble and anxiety. Praying with a heaviness in your heart, like, God, come through for us. And those prayers are great prayers, and God wants to hear them. But there are those moments when he wants to hear us. And as much as we'd like to put our head against his chest and hear his heartbeat, he would love to put his head against our chest and feel our heartbeat. You don't think it's possible? You don't think God would want to do that? That God would love you so much? Do we understand the love of God? It goes to that point of coming down from heaven, of giving his life. Do we understand that love? Where you could actually sit beside you and say, hey, what's going on? Talk to me. That he wants to whisper to us and give us the whisper of his heart. And in the same breath, that he longs to hear our whispers to his heart. And our call to him. There's such a beauty in prayer. You guys know what I'm talking about this morning, don't you? It's not foreign to you. Prayer is not foreign to you. It's kind of like, okay, as a boring preach, you know, we're going to talk about prayer. It's probably the most important thing of all your walk with God. To know him. To know him. That's what prayer is about, to know him. Paul at the end of his life says that I may know you. That I may know you. And it's not a small word. It's not like, I know you. Okay, you are, that's your name. No, I know you. We long for those things. Mike was saying last week that we long for those moments when God will just pull in, that God would actually invade this room, that we would stand at the door and look through the door and say, I can't get in because he's here. We long for those moments, those revival moments. But we're not going to get there, my friends. We're not going to get there because God is just going to arrive. And sometimes he does, and I don't want to dictate to God and say, you can't do this without us. But we need to diligently seek him. We need to get to that place of putting our heart out there in his presence and say, God, draw near to me. I long for you. Would you come? I yield to you. I want your heart. I want your will. I'm going to close with this one thought. Often you'll hear people pray and say the words, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. It's a beautiful word. And sometimes translated as daddy. That would be if you went to Israel today, you'd often hear young boys saying to their fathers, daddy. And they would use the word Ab, Abba. Abba. It's father, daddy, daddy, father. But we could diminish that relationship. And like, hey dad. It's not hey dad. It's the awesome God. And the reason I'm saying this is that there are only three times that word Abba is used in the scriptures. Just three times. Twice I mentioned, one in Romans and the other one, I think, in Galatians. It's about the Spirit, that we have the Spirit of Christ whereby we can say Abba. We have the Spirit of Christ whereby we can call on his name as Abba, our Father. He actually, when he taught his disciples to pray, what did he say? He said, our Father. He could have actually used the word Abba because it's his Father. The other time, and the third time, the first two times are the times where it's the Spirit of Christ calling out, Abba, Father. The first time that it is used by Jesus. And it's only once recorded in Scripture. I don't know. I think the life of Jesus, his prayer times, when he separated himself from the people and turned aside from the crowd and went up in the mountain and prayed all night, I think his prayer was, Abba, I've come to you. I've come to you. I want to hear your heart. What do you want to do? Tomorrow I want to do what you want me to do. I want to go where you want me to go and do what I want, what you want me to do. But the time that he used it, that is recorded in Scripture, was when he was on his knees saying, Father, if it's possible. And he used the word, Father, Abba. If it is possible, will you take this cup away from me? Will you take this cup away from me? But not my will be done. And that's the true meaning of Abba. That you will obey him as your Father. Obey him as your Father. So I want to call you today. I'm going to close this down right now. I'm going to call each one of you today. I'm not going to try and recreate the moment where we can get down on our knees and be there with Father. But I wanted to drop into your spirit. I prayed the prayer and I asked God, would you, Holy Spirit, would you wreck us with this? Would you wreck us with this? When I say wreck it, not in a bad sense, but in a sense of, God, would this be in my heart, would be the treasure of my heart. This would be my take home for today, for tomorrow, for the next day, for the next year. Would you do something in me, my God? Would you allow something to fall deep down into my spirit that I will not struggle with my prayer, I will not struggle with your presence, but I'd long for it. I will desire it. I would seek that place. I'm not going to make an appeal and say, who wants this? Because I'd rather just kick the chair from underneath you and say, get up and go for it. Do it, man. Do it. do it. Love God. Love God with all your heart. That's how you do it. When you come into His presence, you're present in that place. You're present there. I'm not just doing this a little ritual that I'm following through, but I'm present here with you, God. I want to be present. I want to feel your presence. I want to know you. Know you. Know you. So let's all stand. I don't know how to finish elsewhere. We just stand. We're good at it. I've asked Mike at any time he can just interrupt me. As we work together in this, I think it's something that we have got to learn to work together. And we're not separate enterprises doing our own little thing. But to get into that place where you and I can yield together before the Father and say, God, what do you want for these people? What do you desire most? But I'm asking you this morning, do you desire this? Do you desire this relationship with your Father? Do you desire it? I do. I do, and I miss it sometimes. And sometimes too much. You want to sing that song again, Bobby? I'm glad.